This is ESPN Radio's Bart and Hahn Podcast.
He's Bart Scott. We'll talk to Hahn in a few minutes, so that means I get to reprise my role today as, I don't know, like...
You could be Champ. Like, this is like when the Three Stooges finally come together, Larry Curdy Moe and, like, the,
wait,
the cousin
so now
that
I'm a Three Stooge? Like, I wanted to be a Star Wars character. Like, yesterday I was Chewbacca, but, like, now we're in the room together, I'm certainly not big enough to be Chewbacca. Like,
who's Billy Dee's character?
Lando.
Yeah, I'll be Lando.
Of course you'll be. Well, yeah, because you're cool.
You want some Coke 45?
Oh, my God. I was always Hahn growing up, but I guess we'll let Hahn be Hahn. This is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Speaking of Hahn, and we want to get you this quick update based on the conversation we were just having. Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees have settled on a contract for the 2022 season. They've avoided arbitration. Sources have confirmed to ESPN. We'll get you those details as soon as we have them. But in the meantime, we now get to hang out with Alan Hahn. Hahn joining us now on his show. Hahn, I'm going to start with a really important question because I've now been in your studio for 2 days. But today is the second of those 2 days. And the minute I walked into the studio and I heard Bart was going to be here, I was told expressly that he's not allowed to have food anywhere near the studio, to which Bart he's not been following the rules. And someone just said, he made a mess. He says, sir, that you are the one that leaves the crumbs
in
the studio.
No, I didn't say that.
Asking you, Hahn, like, do we have a crumb issue in the studio when I'm not around?
Wow. Did you, really, Bart?
Did this is a guess, and you think he going to come between us? You think you going to believe him over me? Oh. We down like four damn flats. There's no way this dude could come in between us. You know what I'm saying? With all his gidgets and gadgets.
Hahn? Let me ask you if this phrase sounds like it came from me or came from Bart. And when Bart said, those crumbs, I don't have time to see those. And then he said, could be Hahn. Does that sound like that came from me?
Meh.
Wow.
Did you get nap time, by the way?
I'm walking into this. No, I thought you were going to tell me how it's 60 degrees in the studio.
Bad. No, it's hot. He got it warmer here.
No,
it's,
I didn't
nice
change
and
the temperature, but I do. Like, I'll
it's 70 degrees in here.
You get me colder. Like, the colder the studio, the better. I'm good on that. We should actually talk about
Detroit basketball.
Can you help me deal with this Hahn?
No, there's no dealing with that. You got to talk over it or pull out. Or what you do is do what he normally does, is take his smoothie and just dump it into his IFB pit there, and it'll just zap everything. Because that's what he does to me when he wants to do all the talking.
See, that lets me know that you believe what he said.
I mean, and it's Friday, too, so you know what Friday is.
Oh, that's right. It's Effing Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fitting because it's Fitzy on Effing Friday.
Oh, God, this feels so...
Even better.
This feels so right. So I can't deal with any way to handle Bart, but Detroit did have a good draft last night. You were doing great work on ESPN Radio covering the draft. You feel good about the Pistons?
Well, I mean, I love the fact that Bart was right, because Bart Stradamus seems... You can hit the gong anytime now. Bart Stradamus was summoned accidentally. And maybe that's what... Yeah, there it is. So Bart Stradamus was summoned accidentally the other day when it was National Gong Day, according to Stosh. And so I was hitting the gong, and then all of a sudden, there's Bart Stradamus, and that's what Bart Stradamus said, is that the Pistons would be getting Jaden Ivey. And I thought, no, they're not. Like, what are you talking about? Like, the Kings are going to take him, or they're going to trade him to somebody who wants to get him. And sure enough, when the fourth pick came and it was Keegan Murray, and I looked around like, I swear, I looked at PJ, I looked at Corey, they're telling me all about Murray, and I go, this dude's going to be right, isn't he? Like, I knew the Pistons were next. And in my head, I'm going, he's going to be right. And I mean, I had 59 missed texts during the broadcast last night. Mainly because, of course, the Knicks didn't do anything, which usually gets people, like, you know, fired up. But one of the texts was from Bart saying simply, told you so. And that's all I needed to hear. But between that, though, I do think they had a really good day. I love the players they got. And it does tell you that this draft was used by some teams that said, we don't want to be in the lottery anymore. You know, Donnie Walsh always called it the convention of losers, the lottery, the draft lottery. And it's not a place you want to be a lot. And so you saw Orlando, you saw the Spurs, who have made the playoffs in 3 years, that they said enough's enough. They made a ton of picks. And I thought Detroit had a very, very good night.
OKC as well.
Yeah, well, the Thunder, you know, I thought of this, Bart. The Thunder have been collecting all this money, all these assets. And it's like, you guys ever going to spend your money? Like, they finally went out and spent. And that was good to see also, because maybe they are too in that same place of, eventually you've got to start using these picks and making them into players that then help you win. And their roster is going to be very interesting, of course, if everything stays together there, because the more young players they get, the more those guys that it's time for them to get paid or they just got paid, it's more that they then turn and say, okay, it's time for you to go. And so if I'm Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I'm wondering, how much longer am I going to be here?
So your world is centric around the Knicks, right? And you understand that, they even though they haven't been
My
relevant,
world is centric around you. Let's just start with that. Then it's the Knicks.
Okay, so let's
then
talk.
Maybe my family.
let's talk about the Knicks, because I look at what the Pistons did, and maybe Kellen Hayes may be available, right? I don't know. I don't think they really believe in this kid a lot. But you talk about the moves and the future moves. We look at what the Knicks did. They created a lot of salary cap space.
Yeah.
And we all knew, Stevie Wonder, like I said earlier, could see that Jalen Brunson was their target. And when they decided not to pick anybody and they packaged Kemba Walker to clear up some salary cap space, that now it seems like Jalen Brunson is your draft pick, right? And you talk about, you can't depend on draft picks a lot of times to have a lot of impact until a couple of seasons. So is Jalen Brunson the right guy, or is it still Brogdon, or is it Colin Sexton? Is it a done deal because you hired his father that Jalen Brunson is the point guard for the New York Knicks?
I feel like that's where it's going. And I think once they package Kemba and dump that salary, and I do think there's some more salary to dump. I mean, they do have extra picks now, a bunch. Is it seven over the next three drafts or something like that, seven firsts? I could see a couple of more pieces going out the door for salary purposes, whether it's Nerlens Noel or Alec Burks. They're expirings because their third years are option years. So they could still do that, open up some more space. Jalen Brunson is a player that has been connected to them for a while now. And so it just seemed the minute that happened, it's all right, well, this is their plan. Maybe they wanted Jaden Ivey, couldn't get him. So there's got to be, you always have to have, what's your backup? If you couldn't move up in the draft, what was your next plan? Because the starting point guard position is one they don't have. Kemba was on the roster, but you saw they gave up on him at the end of last year. They knew that wasn't going to be a fit. He couldn't play a lot of minutes anymore as a starter. So what were they going to do? They had to get a starter. And that was a guy at 25 years old who showed you with Dallas this past year that he can score. When Luka was out, he actually was their main piece. He scored a ton when he was out, when he was on the ball. I thought he played well in the playoffs. Bart, I covered the Western Conference Finals for us, so I was around that a lot. I saw it up close and personal, and I watched him play because I had in the back of my mind, let me see what this guy can do. And he can score. So that's what I think the plan is going to be. And when you have his dad on your coaching staff, you might have some insight on whether or not he'd be interested in coming. Not to mention the fact that, of course, Leon Rose has known Jalen since practically birth. Tom Thibodeau has known Jalen since practically birth because they have known his dad, Rick, for a very long time. So you would hope that they have some insight, because if he decides and says, "Nah, I'm all set, I'm staying in Dallas," can you imagine the headlines?
That being said, he is, according to one insider last month, the projected contract could exceed $85 million. So you're
over
you're,
how many years?
Four. So it looks 2020.
I'll tell you what, that sounds a lot better than what I heard.
Yeah. So and that's a month ago, right? So, but to that point, when you start talking about the amount of money he's going to get paid, Knicks fans need to start to accept that. How much better will he make the Knicks relative to the amount of money they will have to shell out to get him?
Well, I mean, the going rate for a starting point, a good starting point guy, like Brogdon is $22 million, right? Like he's $22 million, but he's older. He's 5 years older. So he still has three more years left on his deal. I mean, if you want to do a what would you rather have kind of thing, Brogdon's a bigger player. Is he a better defender? Is he smarter? All that stuff. But is he available? He's hurt a lot. So that's actually, if you're going to pay between $22 and $25 million a year for a starting point guard, that for you don't have a starting point guard right now, that's probably what the rate's going to be. Whether you think it's too much, that's what the rate is. It's just like quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, that's what it's going to cost to have this player. Does it win you a championship? Probably not. But does it make you better than you were without a point guard? Absolutely.
What do you think about Kyrie and his list?
Well, I mean, the ultimate trolling, right? Now, I know we look at teams and we get excited about, I think, you know, Lakers, what an interesting fit that would be. That would be. And then there's also, you know, people look at the Knicks and it's like, oh, how about him leaving the Nets for the Knicks? You say that the Sixers are on that list? Like, no one's talking about the fact that the Sixers are on that list. And why is it funny?
Back to Harden?
Yes. Why is it
they
funny?
They almost got a fist fight.
Now, James Harden probably like woke up and somebody's like, hey, Kyrie's got a list of teams. Oh, yeah. What are the teams? Names them, right? Then Sixers. And Harden's like, what? Like they're probably laughing in Philly. Like, wait, this guy ran from you. You think we're going to get you now? But I did think that would have kind of like a funny, fun, like if I controlled the world just for one day. How about if you traded Kyrie for Harden? You give Kevin back James Harden, and then you have Kyrie play with Joel Embiid. And how would Kyrie fare playing in Philadelphia for those fans when on occasion he's like, you know what, today, don't feel like playing.
So what's realistic for Kyrie?
He's going to be a Brooklyn Net. That's real. There really aren't any options for him. There's just not. And the only way he walks is if he walks away from $36 million, which is what his option is, and walks into a free agency where there's very few teams with legitimate cap space that could sign him for what he believes he's worth on the market. And then on top of it, it's a major risk for him to walk away. Right? Think about it. If you walk away from that option, 36, you go into the free agency with teams that don't have a lot of cap space, and then you have nothing, then what do you take? A $6 million mid-level exception from the Lakers? So you're going to leave $30 million. You're going to walk away from $30 million. For what?
He did walk away from half his salary because of the vaccine, right?
Yeah, but eventually you reach a point where, like, you know, money does matter.
That's the interesting part of it, yeah.
I mean, is Uncle Drew 2 coming out?
I'll tell you what, though. What nobody else is talking about here, too, is it, you know, what about Kyrie and does he leave? What about Sean Marks? What about Sean Marks, who might look at his owner and say, if you give him what he wants, you might need a new GM. Because why am I here? Like, you heard him. Like, Bart, remember when we played his comments at the end of the season and what he said about, I want people who are committed fully?
Yeah.
Right, he's the one that said back in November that they're telling Kyrie to stay home until he's ready to be a full. We only want full-time players around here. Like, he's been the guy when we say that's a franchise run by its players and they walk all over Steve Nash. But Marks is the guy that's been trying to, you know, grab hold of this thing and get it under control and say, no, this is not being run by the players only. And he's been trying all this time. If he loses this power struggle that we're watching right now unfold, if I'm him, yeah, I'm all set. Thank you. I'll step aside. Once you let these guys run this franchise, then what do you need me for? Because he had something built so well with a coach in Kenny Atkinson and everybody respected, with the young group that he had put together. And they were a team that made the playoffs. And it was just so what he did to build them out of the depths of where they were when he first took over, it was impressive. And now he's got, you know, tire tracks on him from one superstar that has been just demand, but don't expect anything from me in return. I can't imagine a guy who's come from the school of Greg Popovich and R.C. Buford and the San Antonio Spurs to stay there and continue to take that. So who's to say that Sean Marks wouldn't look at his owner and say, if you do this, you need a new GM. And no one would blame him. Would you guys? No one.
Not wouldn't blame him for a second. Alan Hahn in on his show. It's Barton Hahn. I'm Jason Fitz hanging out. I'm like the third wheel in this equation right now.
You champ.
Why do you keep making me like one of the, you know what? So
we're
far.
We're stooges now. This is what we're doing. We're stooges.
Well, hold on. First of all, the stooges was one of the greatest shows in the history of American television and probably Canada, because it seemed like it was done in Canada too. But come on, man. And then Shemp was like the cool cousin that came over every 15th episode. He didn't oversaturate. He didn't get on your nerves. He came over and he took his ass home like he was supposed to.
Does that make you curly? That which like, kind of, curly was the plump one, right?
I'll be curly.
You're dizzy in low places. Get up there.
I'll be curly.
Oh, I can't promise I'm going to live through this show, but it's fun. All right, we're going to hear from the stars of the NBA. We're going to take your calls. We're going to keep talking to him. We got a lot to accomplish, but right now, Bart needs to accomplish talking to you guys about the glory
Give
of
me
Dollar
laptop.
Shave
me
Club, and I'm passing over my laptop with my beautifully shaved arms.
You ever have a shave so noticeably smooth that people want to touch it? Like your arms. Like a friendly pat on the cheek turns into a full-on cheek rub. It's the kind of shave you get at Dollar Shave Club. Six-blade razor can get you. The Dollar Shave Club six-blade razor brings noticeably smooth shaves with six stainless steel blades with swift hair removal and a lubricating strip that keeps things smooth. The Dollar Shave Club six-blade razor is here to get your chin noticed or your forearms and get it at a fair price. Dollar Shave Club razors are sold at DollarShaveClub.com or in stores. Fitzy?
All right, so I got to ask Alan a question, all right? Oh, we got Dr. Feelgood going? All right, sweet. We've still got Alan Hahn with us. Spartan Hahn.
I thought he would be taking a nap. Baby. I thought he fell asleep by
now. No, no, no. You were doing God's work last night, doing great things covering the entire draft. And I always think it's interesting. I was talking earlier about covering the draft for us on NFL on Digital. I've done it for five straight years. Mm-hmm. We always know what the first pick's going to be. It was minutes before it felt like the entire narrative about the first pick wildly changed. From behind the scenes, were you guys surprised that all of a sudden we were looking at Banchero as we loaded up into the draft?
I'm telling you, when he sat down with what I love, by the way, and it was an amazing experience. It really was. I mean, just to be part of it, Corey Alexander, PJ Carlesimo, Seth Greenberg was back in the studio and he was on with us. That was as so much fun to just spend 5 hours talking basketball with those guys. It was a lot of fun. It was high energy, as you probably know, like the NFL draft the same way. It's just one after another, and there's so many. It's like, wait, now what about this topic? What about this topic? He's just constantly moving around. But what I loved the most was our position allowed us to get the players first right off the stage. Like, it was literally us first, then they did the TV stuff where they went to NBA TV, they went some digital, and they also did ABC. So we got them raw, right? I mean, literally after the handshake and the picture with Adam Silver. And every one of them, you could just sense the emotion that they were going through, like they were just processing it. So Paolo Banchero sits down with us after we're all like, whoa, because we thought it was going to be Jabari Smith Jr. The only entity that told us, no, it's going to be Banchero was Vegas. And Fitzy, as you know, Vegas always knows. And so he sits down with us, and I said it right away to him. I said, when did you know? Like, did you have an inkling, and all along everybody's saying it's going to be somebody else, but it ends up being you, and you're like, yeah, you'll see. When did you know? And he said, 30 seconds ago. Blew my mind. Think about it. The kid probably in his head was saying, I'm going to go third, probably maybe even like zoning out, like first pick. Yeah, whatever. Go ahead, Jabari. Have your day. You know? And then he hears his name, and it probably was like, what, me? He said he got the call from his agent literally as Adam Silver was walking to the podium.
Think about, yeah. Bart, like, think about, I'll just take it, but, like, from Jabari's standpoint, I keep saying it, like, yeah. You thought you were going to be the first, like, being the third pick in the NBA draft is something to be proud of for the rest of your life.
So it flip-flops.
But the flip of that is, like...
So it flip-flops, though, whew. Because whereas Banchero, that was going to have a chip on his shoulder, now he has a chip on his shoulder. Now Jabari's like, okay, I'm going to make you eat them words. You know, and you guys, maybe he went to a better conversation place.
Bart, that conversation with
you
Jabari.
You think he better than me?
Yo, like that. That's what I mean. Like, we got so many great sound bites out of it. He sits down with us after Houston takes him third. Now, remember, I was supposed to be the number one pick in the draft. Yeah. I was on the elevator in the hotel that afternoon with one of the members of his family. They were very excited. We were actually talking about, hey, it's beautiful weather, Orlando, you get Disney. Like, we were talking about it. They all were all in on it. And so he comes to us now, all of a sudden it's Houston, and I'm not even one, I'm not even two. I'm three now?
Yeah.
And so Corey asks him, you know, kind of like, how are you feeling? Like, not a lot of people thought you were going here. They thought you were going one. And yeah. He cut him off. He goes, I'm where I'm wanted.
Exactly.
And he said nothing, and his face did like no emotion, and he stared back at us for a moment. And I kind of let it, like, you know, sometimes, you know, Fitz, you know this, man. As a broadcaster, you don't say a thing, right? You just kind of let the silence sit a minute, make it a little uncomfortable. I didn't say a word. Yeah. Just, he said, I'm where I'm wanted. I'm like, whoa, oh, yeah, okay. I wrote it down.
I got goosebumps.
Can you imagine, like, the playoffs, like when we heard what Jimmy Butler, what? You pick Banchero over me? Ha ha ha.
Oh, we had to play Bart. We should have played Bart's laugh. Right?
Ha ha.
Exactly. It's over.
That's a classic for him forever. Ha ha!
It's
oh, you
favorite.
Gonna pick that bum over me? I'm gonna show you what time it is.
I found it.
Houston got better strip clubs anyway.
I mean, as Roger Goodell is making the call, you're dying laughing. Listen.
Hey man, that was some bum salad. I mean, it's always a team every year that usually the Raiders that takes a pick. Like,
I'm catching strays here for no good reason.
It's unnecessary.
You try to come between Larry and Curly.
No, that's unnecessary.
I call a former NFL player Plumpy once, and all of a sudden now this is what happens to me. Was there anybody else that, like, as you did have first stab at everybody coming off? Was there anybody else that you really felt the emotion from that you think impacts their rookie season?
Oh, I'll tell you what, there's several. Jaden Ivey, him talking about on the anniversary, by the way, of Title IX, he's telling us about what it's like now. His mother, Nielle, who's the coach at Notre Dame, but also played in the WNBA, Detroit Shock, by the way, I believe, right, Bart?
Ah.
The Detroit connection continues. And him saying, which I found it so compelling, he said being around his mom, growing up around her as an athlete and then as a coach, being in the gym and the different players, and he's naming different players, women players, that he said that inspired him, that he learned from and shaped him to where he is today. And I thought, like, think about that for a minute, right? How that is such a casual conversation now that is not something we've really ever heard before, where a male pro athlete is saying the influence of these women athletes on me got me here. I found that to be like, you know, that was really good. But I'll tell you another name that jumped out at me as well was in the second round, but it's escaping me right now and it's driving me crazy. But Jaden Hardy, who they took in the second. A lot of people thought Jaden Hardy was going to be. I mean, this is from the G League Ignite team. He was supposed to be like a lottery pick when the season started last year, but just, you know, went through some struggles. And, you know, there were some things about his game that people weren't quite convinced about. And so he doesn't go until the second round. And boy, there were tears in his eyes. And Corey, who knows him, saw him get up. He said, you know what? Those aren't tears of joy. And when he sat down, we asked him that. Like, you know, I imagine this is an emotional moment. You're drafted into the NBA. But are those tears of joy or something else? And he said, no, there's something else.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to forget this.
Yeah.
Like, Bart would love this because he's like, I'm not going to forget this.
You'll embarrass me.
This is going to fuel me. And you're going to – this is not the last – like, he was – emotional. And I mean, I'm talking about tears and, you know, struggling to talk. And I found that to be compelling as well. And that's why I'm so mad that I didn't remember his name right now, but that's a name you want to circle.
We're going to send him this clip.
Yeah, those are the moments
that doesn't believe in me.
Yeah, we're going to go. Those are the moments that make me want to root for
8 hours of coverage, right? And we got to wrap on 8 hours of coverage. Nobody acknowledged Jaden Ivey's dad. What the hell? He's standing right there.
Took him 8 seconds to bring in Jaden Ivey's dad from the top of the show, huh?
I've been dealing with this.
Dude sitting there in a cream suit. Mm. Nobody even mentions this dude. He's a great athlete because of his father, too.
Hon, I'll hit you up offline. Give me some advice here on how to handle this. I don't know.
Like I said, you just keep it rolling.
Great job yesterday. Thanks for hanging out with us and coming in. You deserve a day of rest, so we appreciate you giving us this time.
And one thing, Fitzy, when Stosh is in your ear going, we got a break, that's when usually I look at the clock and I go, I'm going 60 more seconds just because he told me that.
Like right now?
That may or may not have just happened. All right. Go get some rest, brother. We appreciate you. Thanks for hanging out.
All right.
We're going to get you some of the stars of the NBA draft. I want you to hear some of it with some audio files in. Y'all are stacked. I know you want to get in. We are going to let that happen next. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. How you feeling today post-draft? We'll get some of your thoughts coming up. It's Bart and Hon. Jason Fitz sitting in for Hon on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hon.
It's Bart and Hon on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and of course, on your smart speakers, the dashingly good-looking Jason Fitz sitting in for Alan Hon, sitting with Bart Scott. Show is pretty today. Although, I will tell you quickly.
What would be your avatar?
Well,
I think it would be Phineas and Ferb.
One of our bosses, one of my bosses, Mike Foss, that does so much great work for us doing the digital stuff. Mike Foss sent me a text one day and said, why do I feel like Alan Hahn looks like the superhero version of you? You're like Clark Kent, he's Superman.
You're Urkel and he's Stephen Urkel.
I got the Urkel.
No, because remember he becomes Stefan Urkel. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I mean, I've got a cool factor.
You do.
Tats.
Man. Oh, man, I bet you got some stories about life on the road.
We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Also, don't forget, try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G on America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G-capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. You know what, Bart? Let's have a little bit of fun. It's time to step aside and hear from the newsmakers. We'll do that as part of
Audio Files. Oh. Audio Files. The audio file.
All right, we're going to hear some of the audio from some of the people that were drafted last night. We start with the great Paolo Banchero, first pick in the draft. He was on ESPN Radio. This is what he said when he was asked, how are you feeling about being the first pick?
Hey, listen, I never in my life cried tears of joy, ever. Never have been so happy to where I cried, but I can't even keep it together barely right now, man. It's crazy, man. Like you said, going back to them days, St. Louis, Lee 100, you know, just kept dreaming, you know, kept working. And to be here is crazy.
What you think? I just want to hit the gong.
The Lou! He from the Lou, Jason Tatum Jr.
I'll tell you what, I'm sure that's one of the local listen, there's nothing beautiful than seeing a young man that put the work out and being able to take 1 second to look backwards. Because when you're grinding, you're always looking forward. And to me, this was the first time that these young men were able to look back and connect the dots and see how they got there, right? And, you know, it's a moment of reflection, and, you know, sometimes it's overwhelming. And, you know, congratulations to those kids, their parents. It's a tremendous night for everybody whose dream came or became a reality yesterday. Now it's time to get to work.
Yeah, but I also think you got to press pause sometimes and be like, I don't give a damn how any of these guys play in the pros. You work your whole life to get that moment to get drafted. Man, and Chiney said it last night. I will never forget the phrase when Jaden Ivey was crying. She said, it's not weak, it's work. And it's just, you look at it and say, I've worked my tail off to get here. Last night was...
And it pays off.
It pays off. And, like, we get so caught up in the, what are they going to be as pros? Like, I love the fact that for a night, we don't have to worry about that.
Yes.
It's like, we'll worry about the tomorrow. But for today, this is all about you. Speaking of all about you, Chet Holmgren, Thunder forward. He was asked after he was the second pick in the draft how he feels about being called a unicorn.
It's just one of those things that, you know, I don't control what people say. You know, if they say I'm a unicorn, you know, that's their opinion. You know, I don't focus too much on the outside noise. I just wake up every day with a plan on how to get better, and I execute that and put all my effort into that.
Was he Porzingis? I thought Porzingis was a unicorn.
Yeah, like maybe go with something like a Pegasus or something, yeah. Like or the dragon. Like, why does nobody ever call me? Like, I take the dragon.
Pikachu.
The dragon.
Did you have a, did you, that is a, boy, Bart's bring, like.
The dragon.
I don't even know how I feel about that. Like, there's a lot of like shiny.
You didn't see it was. You didn't see it was a dragon.
No, it's. I just saw it was shiny.
It mixed up in my little bright little AC/DC type inspired shirt.
You know, I was hanging out with Max Crosby before the NFL draft, and he had a bunch of bling on him. So I was talking about our buddy Harry Douglas, who just came in the studio. Harry wears these huge earrings.
Yeah, yeah.
But Harry, I'm outing you here. They're from Claire's. Like, Harry's a frugal man. He doesn't want to spend money.
That's what's up.
So I told Max that. Max was like, if you can afford it, you get it. I don't know if I agree with that, but like, so. What are we Claire's in it there, Bart? Are we that's real?
Yeah, come on, man. I'm balling on the budget, but you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I got a decent budget.
I don't know why I gonged that. I just felt like it. All right, one more for you from last night.
We don't take the gong from you, man.
No, you can't. Now I got a toy. I'm going to play with it. Malachi Branham, the Spurs guard on the NBA draft on ESPN Radio, was asked a question about being the best player out of St. Vincent, St. Mary. This was his answer.
I want you to say on air that you're the best player to ever come out of St. Vincent St. Mary's. Go.
I'm the best player that ever came out of St. Vincent St. Mary's.
Oh, I hope Ron's listening. It's on the record.
You might have to guard him next year.
Bron's going to take it out on him, right?
The Brick, I mean, listen. The Brick is in a very interesting spot. I think he got about two more years to get her done. Yeah, I think he got a lot of pressure. I think it'd be fun when they go against each other, you know what I mean, if LeBron plays. It's like one of those things. Now, like, I think LeBron is in the load management type of game, you know, part of his career. I mean, what is he going to be, 37, 38?
I think that, yeah, to your point, I'm not sure that's enough to get him on the court.
Yeah.
But if he happens to be on the court when that happens, you know he's going to remind him.
I just hope it ain't one of those, you know, MJ/Jordan moments or Iverson, you know what I mean, moments where you hit him with the young guy, hit him with that little hot sauce and that back to forth. We got to see LeBrick like stumble a little bit. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'd like to see that once. And then if you do that, you just you tap out for the rest of the game. Yeah. You're like, you know what?
Yeah, I'm good.
I got my
bucket. He ain't going to catch nobody on me later in the game.
We're going to tap out for the rest of this the rest of this hour because you guys want to take over. So many of you are hyped up about the draft. Knicks fans, NBA fans. I've been promising it. I'm finally going to make it happen. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's y'all taking it over from here. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. We're going to get your thoughts. How you feeling a day after the NBA draft? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You're taking it all over next. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Jason Fitz, Bart Hahn. Let's go to John in Jersey. John, thanks for hanging on. How you feeling today, buddy?
Not good, man. Oh. Just, you know, I've been a longtime Knicks fan since Bernard King's rookie year. And I just, you know, I just want to ask you guys, what makes you guys think that Mark Cuban, who's one of the smartest executives in all of sports, is not going to pay Jalen Brunson? Like I don't understand that. Why wouldn't the Knicks have to pay a king's ransom for him, and then he'll come here and be by himself? For what?
No, because, listen, they've created the salary cap space. They've hired his dad. I'm sure, listen, what you guys don't realize is these conversations and these deals are made far earlier than you think, right? Like, these discussions and these deals and the parameters of a deal has already been discussed. So, I mean, the fact that they hired his dad, that was all strategic. Leon Rose is used to be his agent. Like, they have a relationship with these guys. And one thing that you guys need to know about athletics is it is a relationship business. And you go with your relationships, not always the top money. He knows he's get to come here. And even if he comes here, that team is always, always going to be Luka Doncic's team. He comes here, he can fight for control for it being his team or R.J. Barrett's team. He gets to be the guy that initiates the winning in this town. Man, that is worth his weight in gold because all the things you're going to get off the field and people are going to know who you are because you're the one who are winning when the Knicks are put back on a big stage.
So, and I'll say this. I think Mark Cuban is going to make a massive offer. I think King's ransom from John is probably right. I think you're going to have to overpay to get him. What you can never put a price tag on is somebody's personal preference on where to live, right? And so, to Bart's spot, like, I don't think that the Knicks as a brand hold a lot of value to most young players because most young players have grown up watching the Knicks be bad, right? So I don't think most kids that are 20 are like, oh, I got to go play for the Knicks. But at your core, like, look, I work for ESPN. As part of my job, I have to live in Bristol, Connecticut. I was not given a choice, right? So there are some people that would look at that and say, I don't want to live in Bristol, Connecticut, but I wanted to work for ESPN so much it's worth it to me. There are some people that say, no, I'll only do it if I can work in New York or LA. Like, everybody has preference. So what we don't know is, does he, and what I think the Knicks do know because of their connection with him is, where's he want to be? So I think Cuban's going to make him a huge offer. I'm not saying he's going to take less money, but I think they have a pretty good sense of whether he wants to be in Dallas or whether he wants to be in New York. I can tell you, if I was young and rich, I would take New York over Dallas any day of the week, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
I see that. That's the
and
part.
They, listen, they're paying a lot of other people a lot of money. They spend Dinwiddie, Tim Hardaway Jr.'s coming back.
Yeah, there's money out. It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and, of course, on your smart speakers. He's Bart Scott. I'm Jason Fitz, filling in for Alan Hahn. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. You guys are going to take over the show. How you feeling? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I know a lot of people are still very upset, but if you want to chime in on the draft, the Knicks or Kyrie, this is your chance to do it. Let's go to Jose in Jersey. Jose, thanks for calling the show. What you got?
What's good, fellas? How y'all feeling today?
Oh, feeling great. How are you?
I'm good, brother. First off, I want to thank the Yankees, because they made last night a lot easier for me. Here's what I'm trying to get y'all to understand as a Knicks fan for 35 years. When you hear us pick a French guy, it completely puts us in a dark place. We went from Frederick Weiss, and the next guy was Ron Artest that was picked. We got Frank Ntilikina and a couple of picks after that. You got Donovan Mitchell going somewhere else. So, I just went to a dark place. If we do get Brunson, I'll be a happy man. Right now, I'm going to call it an incomplete. We're also a franchise and a fan base that always hear guys are going to come, regardless of how much money we have to offer, and no one ever shows up. We're usually just the fat, ugly kid with braces in the prom who always asks the pretty girl to dance and everyone shuts us down. So hopefully we get the kid. If he comes through, we're a much better team. But yesterday was really, really difficult for a fan base, and I'm one of them, where you just hope something feels like a bright spot, and it just feels like a disappointment, man. Like I said, thanks for the Yankees. But yesterday was really, really tough, man. I'm wondering if you guys understand where we're coming from and why we're a little antsy.
I've been here for 10 years or 12 years now, and I definitely understand where it's coming from, right? Because you were told that, hey, we're going to get an impact player, and then KD and Kyrie says, hey, you guys aren't cool, and they went away. They've been hearing the stories of LeBron James wanting to come, and they're always the team like, oh, man, we're one pick from Steph Curry. We're one pick from Donovan Mitchell. We could have got Haliburton last year, but we got Obi Toppin. So I understand the scar tissue there. But at some point, like I said, even a blind squirrel gets a nut. And right now, the Knicks are blind.
Yeah, I'll say this to Jose and to everybody. For if you don't know anything about me, like I do what I do because of the Raiders. Like I've never made any. I've never tried to hide that. I wear my fandom on my sleeves. It was 6-7 years ago that I was sitting on a tour bus yelling at ESPN, and now I get to sit in front of a microphone and yell with everybody. I understand the fan heartbreak, I think, better than anybody in media and sports, and I genuinely believe that. I understand what it's like to know that your week's going to be ruined when your team doesn't play well. I understand what it's like to know that you feel like you can't even turn on the TV because somebody's going to be mocking your favorite franchise. I understand what it's like to avoid sports talk radio and then have to turn it on because you finally want to celebrate it. Like, I understand every ounce of the heartache, I think, better than even Stephen A. does, and I understand his fandom for the Knicks, but realistically, the hardest part about all of it is there's never an easy answer. And that's the toughest part of this entire process. The Knicks, with the 11th pick in the draft last night, were not going to fix the Knicks. And the problem is, I think a lot of people, East Coast bias, right? Like, I think a lot of people in the media for a long time have been saying, hey, you know what? Everybody wants to play for the Knicks. I don't think that's true. No. I think the Knicks have to rebuild a brand from the ground up. And when you're doing that, it's going to take time. And you're going to have to be even more patient. And you're going to have to trust somebody finally gets it right. Why do you trust when nobody ever gets it right? Like, I get every ounce of it. It hurts me to my core for every single fan. But all I can tell you, Knicks fans, is that you got to trust the people that run the organization. Because if you don't, where's your hope come from at all? I don't know. Mike in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the show. Mike, what you got?
Man, I think we got what's, I'm sorry. What's up, fellas? Hope everything is good.
Great.
You know, I came in late on the draft, and trust me, when I heard something from France, I was sick. Definitely a cup, some rum and some beers. But this morning, after thinking about things, you don't collect all these assets. You don't get picks and clear space for nothing. We're gonna get a point guard. We want Brunson, but there's point guards out there.
They got Colin Sexton.
All we gotta do is make a deal. It's gonna be a multi-team deal, and guaranteed.
No, and what they're trying to do with the picks is to kind of package maybe a guy like what's the shooter name? Oh, I forget his name.
I mean, they can package anybody they want with the picks to try and get rid of the money.
The same thing they did with Kemba. So you dump salary, right, but you give them picks for taking your salary, right? And they get to eat it up.
Yeah, and that's going to be the entire, like, depending on who's out there, the Knicks can go for anybody they want with the extra
Colin
the extra power they
is
have.
There, but because yeah, Darius Garland is going to be the point guard for them, so he's going to be available.
We don't trade the farm. We don't did that. You seen what happened with Carmelo. We gave Denver everything, and Carmelo came to nothing. We've done it too many times. We've seen that story. So you know what? You get the picks, you clear the space, and we're going to need another team to make this deal, but it's Leon Rose. He don't talk too much, but we're going to see something.
Yeah. You're trying to get Evan Fournier up out of here.
Yeah, because he has 17, 18 million.
Yeah, like, yeah. Get somebody to take Evan Fournier, who they've been trying to get rid of, who just kind of didn't work out. They thought he was going to be a great shooter. And you package that with some deals, and now you dump money to clear space to bring in veterans.
Here's the hard thing for Knicks fans. Y'all have legacy for generations. The people running your organization don't have to share any of that. So, like, where y'all are is you're coming into this situation like you've been in bad relationship after bad relationship after bad relationship, and now you believe that every girl is crazy, right? Like, that's where you are. And unfortunately, all of those bad relationships, all of that bad history doesn't matter to the people that run the organization today. You've got to trust that the new girl isn't crazy, and you've got to put all of that other stuff behind. That's the hardest part of this equation. Look at what the Bengals did last year. When he asked Joe Burrow, he said, I don't give a damn about what happened in Cincinnati.
I'm an example of that. I came here from the Ravens like, listen, same old Jets. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a winner.
Yeah, that's the hardest part of the equation. We'll get some expertise on the NBA from a front office insider on what could be next for everybody. Doing that next, Barton Hahn.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.